speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We've been seeking the answer to the question this week, what is man? What is death? Are the dead conscious? Where are the dead? What about purgatory? Will the body be raised? What about future recognition? We've established the fact that man is a dual being. That is, he's a soul living within a body. And that death is a separation of the body from the spirit. And indeed, all of us are facing death, in which our body will return to the dust of the earth from which it came, but the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And today we ask the question, are the dead conscious? What is the condition of the soul or the spirit after death, before the resurrection? Is the departed soul conscious? Is it unconscious? Well, the Holy Scriptures can answer some of these questions and provides accurate information. The Lord's narrative, found in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, teaches that the soul is conscious between physical death and the resurrection. The soul lives after the body dies. It lives in either bliss or in misery. And that will be determined according to the way we have lived life upon the earth. The rich man died and was immediately lifted up his eyes in torments. He not only knew of his misery, but he remembered that he had five brothers still on earth who were alive, and he did not want them coming to the place of torment where he was. Father Abraham asked him to recall his previous life on earth, for it would help him understand why he was now being tormented. In the meantime, Lazarus, who had been a beggar on earth, died, but he was immediately happy, he was comforted. So both the rich man and Lazarus were in a state of conscious existence. They could still remember their life on earth. Now, some seek to evade the force of the plain language of Jesus, found here in Luke 16, verse 19 through the end of the chapter, by saying that this was simply a parable. Well, whether parable or history or both, the Scripture teaches truth, not falsehood. To say it's a parable does not alter the facts about the two men. But unlike fables, the parable of the Lord are realistic, and the condition after life which Christ described here actually existed. He gave an accurate description of them. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man. Well, was there? He said there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Was there? Did the rich man die? Did Lazarus die? Jesus said they did. And Christ often used historical facts to illustrate and teach spiritual truths. How foolish for one to think of the narrative as simply as a fairy tale or as a fable. Now, while these events in this narrative were factual, the Lord did use some figurative language to clarify man's understanding. To describe spirit beings, Christ had to use concepts drawn from human experience. There may not have been a literal flame or water or gulf in the spiritual realm, but something real and something certain was represented by this imagery. The conscious joys and torments of these two disembodied spirits were facts, though described in figurative language. And two great facts can be learned from this account of the rich man and Lazarus. Number one, death is not extinction. The spirit survives the dissolution of the body, and the spirit lives after the body has returned to the dust. Now, second important truth, disembodied spirits are in a state of consciousness, either happy or miserable, depending upon the life they lived while in the body. And they are conscious of existence. They retain memories of earthly life. The Bible teaches that man's spirit is capable of separate and conscious existence, even when the body is dissolved. And the Apostle Paul's view of death is such that it's not that it was not a loss but a gain, for he said, to die is to depart from the body and to be with Christ, which is far better, Philippians 1, verse 23. One cannot imagine that Paul meant he preferred the total blank of unconsciousness, not to mention annihilation, to the mingled joys and sorrows of this wonderful life on earth serving the Lord. How could this condition after death have been far better than living if this life was all there was? But he knew that there was something beyond the grave. And thus he said, to die is gain. And in addition, Paul's experience when he was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise, as related in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 through verse 4, clearly teaches conscious existence outside of the body. Actually, Paul did not know whether he was in or out of the body at that moment. If out of the body, he continued conscious existence. And what was true in this case is true in every case of separation of the body from the spirit. The spirit continues its conscious existence after departure from the body. The souls of the early martyrs in their disembodied state are described as being alive and conscious while they are awaiting the day of judgment. We read of that in Revelation 6, verse 9 through verse 11. The righteous dead are blessed, or they're happy. For John was led by the Spirit to write, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." A person lost to all consciousness is not happy. He's not blessed. Yet the Bible says that those who die in the Lord are in a state of blessedness. They're happy. It does not say that those who die in the Lord are happy. It does not say that they will be happy, but that they are happy now. And the passage most used as proof that the dead are unconscious is found in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5. And that verse says that the dead know not anything. But the very next verse says they know not anything under the sun. This passage has reference to what the dead can know or do under the sun, that is, in this busy world in which they once lived. After death, man's activity ceases on earth. The Scripture has no reference whatsoever to the spirits being unconscious after death, though. Some believe in soul sleeping, that is, that the spirit exists after death in a state of unconsciousness that is just asleep. Now, the Scriptures speak of death as a sleep, but it's in the sense that one is unconscious to the events here on earth, or that he's resting, waiting for the final judgment. The word sleep, when used concerning physical death, always refers to the bodies, not to the spirits. Bodies sleep in the dust of the earth, Daniel 12, verse 2. They sleep in their graves, Matthew 27, verse 52. Thus, a cemetery is often referred to as a place of the dead, a sleeping place where dead bodies await their resurrection. But the spirits are not in the graves. They're not asleep. They're conscious. For they all live, whether alive or dead. So sleep is used figuratively in the Scriptures to describe death. And there is a resemblance between a dead body and a sleeping body. A dead person looks as though he's just so natural, he's lying there asleep. A dead person looks as though they're just resting. But the soul does not fall asleep. As the sleeping person awakens in the morning to activities of a new day, so one day the bodies that sleep in the graves will be raised to a new life. This idea of soul sleeping is not taught in the Bible. Souls do not spend the long intervening years between death and the resurrection in some comatose state. In the Bible, death is neither extinction nor is it unconsciousness. The departed spirits are living, and they are conscious. Well, that brings us to another question. Where are the dead then? Where are these spirits? At death, the spirit leaves the body and maintains a separate conscious existence. The soul is neither asleep with the body in the grave, nor does it hover near the grave, nor has it entered into some other body, as some religionists, spiritualists suppose. Any idea of transmigration or reincarnation of souls is totally at odds with Bible teaching. The Bible says the spirit at death returns unto God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Well, then, where do souls go at death to await the resurrection? Is it to the ultimate destination, either heaven or hell? Shall that be their departure at death? Or is there some intermediate abode? At the day of final judgment, when Christ comes again, the Lord will say to the redeemed, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." To the wicked he will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." Matthew 25:31-46. At that day, the followers of Christ will receive their crown of righteousness that's spoken of in numerous places. Christ said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:1-3. Even the saints who lived under the Old Testament are still awaiting their entrance into the eternal home of the righteous. On Pentecost, the Apostle Peter referred to David. David is not ascended into the heavens, Acts 2:34. So souls do not enter their eternal state, either heaven or hell, at the moment of death. There is a place of Sheol, in the Greek term, in Hades, an intermediate abode. The passage we looked at regarding the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16, speaks of the fact that there is a waiting place. And the spirit of Jesus went into Hades, the Hadean world, when he died. Peter on Pentecost said, "David saith concerning him," concerning Christ, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades." Neither was he left in Hades. So the original word Hades is translated hell often in the King James Version, but it refers to a different place, the Hadean world, a place where all spirits go. My friend, have you made your preparation to go either in that place of bliss? If not, only torment is awaiting. For today, my time is gone. I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.